Let me be thine forever, my faithful God and Lord. Let me forsake thee never, nor wander from thy word. Lord, do not let me waver, but give me steadfastness, and for such grace forever thy holy name I'll bless. Lord Jesus, my salvation, my light, my life divine, my only consolation, O make me wholly thine. For thou hast dearly bought me with blood and bitter pain. Let me, since thou hast sought me, eternal life obtain. And thou, O Holy Spirit, my comforter and guide, grant that in Jesus' merit I always may confide. Him to the end confessing, whom I have known by faith, give me thy constant blessing, and grant a Christian death. Amen. Does everyone have a handout from last week? Would someone, thank you, would you distribute the leftovers we have here? Maybe if we bless it, we can multiply them if we don't have enough. We have actually made it into Ecclesiastes 8, and maybe there's not that much worth discussing that's very deep and we haven't touched on before, so we might be able to get through this section of chapter 8, verse 13. Let's look at the first 13 verses of chapter 8, and I'll read it quickly through. Who is as the wise men, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face, thank you, to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever he pleaseth. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what dost thou? What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Now, in our discussion last week, we basically said how God had had appointed all authority, that all government authority is by God's gift. And so if we are respectful to God, we are also therefore respectful of human authority. And so as St. Paul says in Romans 13, to be obedient to the temporal authority, for he beareth not the sword in vain, but he is the Lord's minister to reward that which is good and to punish that which is evil. So he's saying that Christians, if you want to keep a good conscience, don't break the law. When the king or the government gives a command, then follow the command. And we noted last time that there are exceptions to the rule when the government orders us to do something that is plainly against God's word, or if the government forbids us to do something that God's word impels us to do, then as the apostles said when they were commanded not to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, they continued to preach because they said it is better to obey God than man. But even in America, we have to respect that all authority is by God. And even our Constitution sort of does it in the opposite way of kings, in that it says that God gives to all of us citizens inalienable rights, and then says that the government's power is derived from us, which is more theologically correct. Again, we're studying the large catechism in Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you want more on that issue, read what Luther says under the fourth commandment in the larger catechism. He plainly says there that all government authority is derived from fourth commandment parental authority. Okay, so God has appointed those authorities and we are to respect it, but in the rest of the chapter, God sort of balances that. That even the king, who no one can question, has a limit to his authority. And the king, who is given that authority and can make laws, can he do it willy-nilly, or will he be accountable to God for the laws that he promulgates? Yeah, he'll be accountable to God. And wise rulers understand that. Evil rulers are tyrants that impose their will and enslave the people. They make rules in ways that they have no right to do. That's tyranny. That's enslaving the people. Whereas a wise ruler understands that he rules under God and that he will be accountable for the justice in his system. That's why America is turning more and more to evil. Because our rulers do not understand themselves accountable to God anymore. Amen. Or many of them don't. Yes?
You wonder, the judges that are in a situation where this idea of gay marriages and that, on Friday it's okay, and on Wednesday there's a judgment that's a stay or something, and they can't do it until it goes to the court. So it puts the people in the middle, if they're Christian. Pretty difficult situation.
Yeah, but again, it's sort of that sign that America is shifting away from the godly influence when many of the citizens were Christian and of the Christian sort that respected God's word, that never would have come out because the leaven or the good influence of the Christian in society was such that those things were kept at bay. But now we've got authorities in high places that are scientific in their thinking. And when I say that, it means that they leave God out of their thinking. And if you leave God out of your thinking, and the power of the government is derived from the people, who do you have to listen to, and who are you accountable to? The people. See, that's how society degrades and erodes. Because the people now think that they're in charge because there is no God. If I float a poll and the poll says the majority of the people disagree with God, then they trump God. And you're right. Christians who believe the Bible will always be in a tight spot with that. Because they will be countercultural. And they may be persecuted for their beliefs because they don't think as the majority believes anymore. And what does God want us to do then? To fold? No. Right. Yes?
The problem is that in our society, we've found the problem. Well, I agree that from Christian people, educated Christian people, we keep the country on the right track. And therefore, judges and justices would then be able to judge according to the law. What the judges and justices are now doing, and this is the modern science, are making law. They see themselves as legislature, and they're not. So they're not even abiding by the parental authority of the Constitution given to them by the previous people who approved it and voted it in. So we have a real problem here. It's akin to when you say, what authority do people go to? In our country today, one of the greatest and most, how do I say, adhere to authority is shareholder value. It's so much of what we do to shareholder value, whether that shareholders are voters, in other words, we get our dividend if we get voted into office, or whether it's we use our money on Wall Street. And this is our problem. We have, as you say, but even our current justice, Roberts, Chief Justice, said, what do you want me to do? Knock down this whole health care office at one point? And the succinct answer is that one point makes it unconstitutional. Yes.
Well, again, and the big resistance at the beginning of the formation of Synod when the Voters' Assembly was proposed as the polity or the organization of the church was that it was going to turn into a tyranny of the people. And again, in church polities, you can see one of two extremes. You can have churches in which Herr Pastor, or in the extreme case, the Pope, the Herr Pastor, calls the shots and everyone has to be obedient to him. And the other range of church polity is where you have an extremely congregational thing where the people vote and make the decisions that are given life in the congregation. Now, which of them is better and which is worse? I mean, they both have the potential for tyranny. Tyranny of the dictator, one person, or tyranny of the popular opinion. What is it? Is it the pastor or the hierarchy in the church or the laity, the lay people in the church that set the rules and set what ought to be done? Which of it is? Which of it is it? So it can be the pastor, but it's got to be in agreement with the congregation.
Unless it's something of God's word.
Yeah, I have offered you a false alternative. It's not the people or the pastor, it's God's word. And if God's word has its proper place in the life of the people and the pastor, guess what? They're in agreement. And if it's a matter of freedom, they are in agreement that it's a matter of freedom and we can freely make a choice in it. But whether it's the pastor that is circumventing the word of God or the voters' assembly that is circumventing the word of God, it is equally repugnant in the eyes of God. Do you think that in the Missouri Synod with its congregational polity, there are things that have been instituted that are displeasing to God in various congregations? Sure. And who will God hold responsible for that?
The one that knows and doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Well, the congregation and the pastor. The pastor is to teach them. And that was the brilliance of Gary's statement about the founding fathers assuming an educated electorate. People that are elected are educated and thinking people. If you don't have that, you aren't going to have good government. And if you don't have an educated laity that knows the word of God, you're going to have a congregation that is in trouble. Because they're, even if they're doing the right thing, they're doing it because they're blindly following the pastor instead of basing what they're doing on the word of God. That's doing the right things for the wrong reasons. And it sets up the people for when that pastor leaves or dies. It sets up the people thinking that the church is dead. It's not. Yes?
Yeah, in accordance with that, also is that I think that our governments, in a sense, are still like the law of our congregation. The pastor does not rule as a dictator. The people do not rule as a dictatorship of the masses. But rather, together in the word of God, they go forward together. And like the Bereans, if they're doing things in balance, they're reading the word of God and finding the direction from the Holy Spirit. As Luther says in one issue of reading the commentary, if you have a question this time, I want the Holy Spirit to teach you.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, our governance and the paternal authority we get, and yet from the word of God to the pastor, down to the people, to the congregation in general, to our children. It's like that with our governance as well.
Again, the German expression that rings in Walther all the way through is unbedingten Gehorsam, which means I knew you were. Unconditional obedience. When God speaks, you obey it. You receive it as the word of God. And it's the erosion of the authority of the word of God that causes problems in the church. Moving on then, we go from the authority of the king to verse 6. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. So what he's saying here is that the timing and the ultimate judgment are not in our hands. Whose hands are they in? God's. When that guy cuts you off in traffic, don't you wish there was a cop right there? Come on, get him. Write him the ticket. He cut me off. But guess what? It never happens. The cop is only there when you roll through the stop sign and you're not hurting anybody. Then the cop is sure to be there. But what it's what it's saying here is that the time and the judgment are in God's hands. And that's very frustrating for us. Which means when there is injustice or wrongdoing, even by the king, who is given permission, evidently, to do the wrongdoing, and he has free course to do it, he puts on his ring of power and disappears and does all kinds of nefarious things, and God's standing back and letting it happen, you say, come on, God, do something. But the judgment and the accountability is in God's hands. Now remember that as you're on the 24-hour news cycle. and you're hearing all the rumors of things that are happening, and ignore it all. It's not up to you to judge these things in the news cycle. And the world is full of liars. Whether you're left-wing or right-wing, whether you watch, I don't know what, MSNBC or Fox, don't believe any of it. Wait for the time of judgment when God weighs it all.
But we're also voters, so should we come and try and know what's going on?
Yeah, but again, when you watch the news, you never get straight news reporting anymore. It's always the facts are given to you with a spin. It's our culture, you know. Yeah. And go ahead and listen, but you know, take it for what it's worth. And just because you align with your politics in one way or the other, I've sort of learned, with this Bagdal thing that's going on, it's just too much. It's just too much. I listen to the testimony of the soldiers that serve with him, and not listening to the spinmeisters, I have my own interpretation about what happened with him, and I'm entitled to my spin as well as anyone else, and I don't think it's what anyone is saying right now, and it's not because I'm a wise person. I'm just saying there are other explanations for these things than the pundits are telling you about, and don't be so enslaved to their way of thinking that you can't be independent of them as a Christian and sit back and wait for the ultimate time of judgment and realize that we don't get all the facts. God has all the facts. Yes? You keep the button away from this guy, by the way. Well, there's some truth to that, too. All right, moving on. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, or who can tell him when it shall be. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those who are given to it. So all of it's saying that all of this timing is in God's hands. And remember, everybody is going to die and stand before God in the judgment. And in that day, it's all going to be sorted out. So leave what is not yours in God's hands. And don't be frustrated like the fool. Understand that God is all wise, and in his wisdom, he will handle those things. And understand that even an evil ruler that misuses his power has no control over the day that he dies. God has control of that. And in that day, he will appear before God and will have to give an account. And he will either stand before God as a man who acknowledges his weakness, sin, and pride, and said, even as I was alive, God, I came to you in my weakness, and you forgave me in your Son. And that person will go to eternal rest happy because he rests in Jesus' peace. Or in his pride, he will stand before God and said, look at all I have done. Look at how powerful I was. And God will laugh because all of that power was against him and for naught. And on that day, all of the power and all that he had to get done will be regretted for eternity. So we leave things in the final judgment of God, and if we are wise, we will understand. Verse 9 next week. God bless you all. Thank you for watching the clock for me.